Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It's good to win. You ever get tired of winning?
No.
I don't, right? Win. The scripture said he always causes us to triumph. Well, that's not win a few, lose a few. No. God's will is that you win and win and win, yeah. Right? He didn't say there wouldn't be any challenges. If there was nothing to come over, you wouldn't have to be an overcomer, mm-hmm. Right? And you think about, he said, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. I mean, he talks about loins girt with truth and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and helmet of salvation and sword of the spirit. And what if you're all dressed up and nobody to fight and nowhere to go? And no, there's a reason why you need this armor, right? Because you do have an enemy that's arrayed against you. But the good news is he's a defeated foe, and the greater one lives inside of you. And if you just stay hooked with God, you will win. You will win. So, Father, we thank you so much that you have done everything for us. You have given us a perfect and complete redemption and salvation. Open our eyes and ears and hearts today. Help us to understand it and be able to lay hold of more and more of it and walk in it to your glory. We ask for the utterance and ears to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on this series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we have gone one by one. We're going through a list of 30 reasons. Actually, I've already got 40 on my notes. And I'm sure there's 140. But somebody said, we're going to get those other 10? I don't know. And some of them, they overlap some too. But how many would agree that with God, it goes on and on?
Amen.
Right? I mean, if something's true, it's true. No matter how many ways you look at it and how many ways you examine it. And so this is one of those great truths that your God, your believer, he is a good father. He wants you blessed.
Amen.
He wants you prospered. He wants you abundantly supplied and provided for. And it is never his will for you to come short and be in lack and be in poverty. I know there are people on this planet starving to death for lack of a good meal. And that's evil. That's not God. That's not God's will. That's evil. And you know, with many of these, many situations, it goes back generations where people's forefathers forsook God and replaced him with false gods. And without God's help, you're just not going to make it. I mean, no matter our country, your country, it makes no difference. If you keep pulling God out of everything, no God in the school, no God in the government, no God at the workplace, no God. And then when people need help, they go, oh, God, well, that's the God you said you didn't want.
Yeah.
You can't push him away and keep his protection.
Amen.
You can't get rid of him and keep his help and blessing. It doesn't work. When you get rid of him, you get rid of your provision.
Yes.
Hmm?
Yeah.
You get rid of blessing. No, not us. We're not saying get out. We're saying come in. Come in. Fill up every room. Is that right? Every floor. Come on, everybody say it, Lord. Lord, come in.
Come in
to my life. Every part. Amen. Amen. So we've been looking at reason by reason why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will. And we're down to this one now in our study, number 17, the covenant blessing. And we've been talking about that God is a God of covenant. What's a covenant? A covenant is a written agreement of at least between at least two parties. It's a very serious, solemn agreement with promises and benefits and repercussions if you break it. And God has always been a covenant God. All the way back, you know, to we talked about Noah, we talked about Abraham, and there's more than one covenant that God made with Israel, his people, when he brought them out of Egyptian bondage. And then, of course, there's the new covenant. Hallelujah. In the blood of Jesus. And these covenants that we're talking about that God has made, we're talking about our blood covenants, which shows how serious they are. And the scripture says that the life is in the blood. And so it was a giving of life, a giving up of life to seal and ratify this covenant. It doesn't get any more serious than that. Like in the Old Testament, animals died, right? Yes. To get their blood to seal that covenant. But the scripture says that through all that time, that the blood of animals was not enough to cleanse men from their sin. And it was only a temporary thing that covered it until the coming of the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how that he, all the things that had happened before were prophecies and were pictures portraying the spotless Lamb of God who would come. And he gave his life. He died and shed his blood, gave his blood. And in fact, the scriptures tell us that his blood was gathered and taken to heaven, to the mercy seat in heaven, and offered as a sacrifice for us, all who would ever believe on him and enter into covenant with him. So when we're talking about blood covenant, there's nothing more serious in the world, in life, than the blood covenant. And it is something to be respected. It is something to be revered. One of the worst blasphemies that men can make is to belittle the blood and the Holy Spirit, to act like the Holy Spirit is nothing, or to attribute the Holy Spirit's works to the devil and that kind of thing. That's called blasphemy. And Hebrews says to treat the blood that redeemed us and trod it underfoot like it's nothing, to speak of it contemptuously, that's how people get to a place where they're lost and they won't be saved. No, if you think right at all and you are a believer, when the subject of the blood of the Lamb comes up, you get serious. Yes. Is that right? Yes. You get very respectful. Not scared you're going to say something wrong, but just the treasure of it, because without this blood, you and I are going to hell. Is that right? Yes. I mean, without this blood, you and I would never have been accepted in the family of God. We would never have gone to heaven in eternity to come. We couldn't, without the blood, we would have been stuck in our sins, our guilt, our condemnation, in death. We'd have been stuck with the devil and his bunch for eternity. How we ought to shout and thank God about the blood. Yes. The blood. Yes. Well, the blood did save us, But the blood also sealed the covenant, the new covenant. Now, in order to understand the new covenant, you also need to understand the previous covenants that came, because God's the same God. He hadn't changed, and he does things the same way. And in fact, we're told that the benefits of the previous covenants belong to us today. I'm quoting things from the New Testament. The Bible said that, you know, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, so that the blessing of Abraham would come on the Gentiles. That was us, yes, through faith in Jesus Christ. So ignoring the Bible and ignoring these previous covenants is ignorance and foolishness. We need to find out, amen, what we've been given, amen, what we have, and how all of it is just taken above and beyond in the new covenant. It's a better covenant. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We didn't lose anything by the coming of Jesus. We just gained things by the coming of Jesus. But we need to learn about God's covenants just in general. Go to, Exodus, the 24th chapter. We saw in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy that the Lord said that we were to remember him because he gives us power to get wealth in order that he may establish his covenant. So us having plenty and us doing well is actually God keeping his word that he gave long ago, before we were born. And we are smart ones if we receive the covenant, right? And embrace it and walk in it. Exodus 24. Now, the giving of this covenant worked out in multiple ways. This covenant, and it's one of the greatest that you'll read about in the Word of God, is God delivered his people out of Egyptian bondage and eventually brought them to Mount Horeb. And you remember that God told the people he was going to meet with them. And I mean, he really meant meet with them. When And the reason this was so outstanding and so significant is because it was the establishing of this covenant that is called to this day an everlasting covenant. So he told them, prepare, clean up, wash your clothes, keep all the animals away from the mountain. Nobody else come up on the mountain. And I mean, the next morning, fire came down and engulfed the whole mountain. And the fire was blazing up into the sky out of sight. And trumpet blasts began to sound and just got louder and louder and louder. And it scared the people so bad. Until at one point later they said, please, Moses, you go and talk to him. If we hear this voice again, we think we will die. It was awesome. It was fearful. And God spoke out of the fire. And one of the first things he said, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of Egypt. No concern about who this is. No mistake, is what I'm trying to say about who this is. He said, you shall have no other gods before me. He spoke aloud out of the fire and gave them what we call the Ten Commandments, which he also engraved in stone with his own finger, like a laser. He, you know, five and five, apparently. And so the scripture says, verse chapter 24, he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. This was after he had said that Moses came up into the mount, you know, and he gave him further instructions, numerous statutes and ordinances that went along with the Ten Commandments that he gave them. But Moses wrote it all down, and then he came back and read it to them, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. And you look in Hebrews, it says, all things are confirmed and sprinkled by blood. And without blood, there is no remission of sins. Everybody say, blood covenant.
Blood covenant.
But now listen to what else happened. They had seen the fire. They had heard that. He wrote it down. He read it to them. And then the Lord had told him to get 70 of the elders and with him and Aaron and the priest come up to the mount to have a covenant meal with God. Whew. Now, you know, I've been invited to dinner before. But this is another level. Is that right? I'm sure some of them were thinking, what about that fire? You know, they looked like that would burn everything to a crisp. Well, they went up, verse 9, Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, they were the high priest, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. Now, I suppose they didn't see his face. On another occasion, he said nobody could see his face and live. But they saw the form of God. And they saw the throne and the pavilion before them. And they had a covenant meal. Whew! They ate and drank. And then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that you may teach them. This was combined the entering into covenant, God with his people Israel, and included the giving of his law to them. And then later, they stood on the two mounts, Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and pronounced the curse and the blessing, which is what we're going to get to at a point. But is this a big thing?
Yes.
Or is this a big thing? Oh, this is huge. This is huge. And so jump to the 34th chapter of Exodus now. Exodus 34. And of course, if you're curious about this, read the entire book of Exodus. Read the entire book of Deuteronomy. It's well worth your time. It's the Word of God. And it's not an old, out-of-date Word of God. Everything he said is still true.
Amen.
Still right. Our covenant has changed. He hasn't changed. But the benefits of the covenant carry over. Exodus 34, 27. The Lord said to Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. And he was there, verse 28, with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. He didn't need to in the glory. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. So is there a reason why we should have these hanging on our wall and we should honor them? and respect them? Absolutely. And people who mock and scoff and despise them, they show how close they are to destruction.
Yes.
And instead of getting mad and upset, you should realize they're in danger.
Yeah.
If something doesn't change with them, it sounds like they're going to be lost. He wrote upon the tables. In verse 29, it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, he didn't realize, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near to him. Now, the scripture tells us that the giving of this covenant was with glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go to the New Testament, please. I know I'm moving a little bit slower, but you know, sometimes people haven't thought very much about these things. And so 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, is where I want you to go. So we don't need to rush through it. But is it Bible?
Yes.
Is it important? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you're turning. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Is this New Testament in 2 Corinthians? Well, it talks about these things. It says, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 3, 7, if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, and it was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather or more glorious? We didn't step down from there. We stepped up.
Yes.
Woo. Well, that was something else,
yeah.
Right? That was something big. And yet, why was it called the ministration of death? Because the wages of sin is death. And even though what God gave, his covenant, is wonderful, and his law perfect, yet men did not keep it. And if you break the covenant, there are repercussions. And there was death. And we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. That was true then. It's true now. So that's what I keep saying about the Word of God. It's all, just because it was written, you know, in books prior to the New Testament, doesn't mean it's out of date and no longer true. It's true.
Yeah.
It's right. And so there was never anything wrong with the law. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Too perfect for human beings, yeah. Right? But it showed God's standard,
yeah,
of good and right. And it also, by contrast, showed what's wrong and evil. And it showed his will. Does he want us to obey or disobey?
Obey.
Then does he want us blessed or cursed?
Blessed.
Blessed. And so to get confused about that is to ignore half the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Never does he want you cursed. But if you break the covenant, you wind up in the curse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not God's will, not God's plan, not God's fault.
Right.
Wrong choices. Disobedience, rebellion, etc. The list goes on. That's where most of the planet is right now. In defiance,
yeah,
in rebellion,
yeah,
against God.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad you're a Christian?
Yes, sir.
That you can say, no, I'm,
yes, sir,
I'm not rebelling against God. No. And it says it was glorious. It goes on to say, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Under the law, nobody could be justified. That's why Jesus had to come. And God knew that. He already had it planned. He knew He knew where men would wind up on this. And that's why all mankind has to concede, I can't save myself. I need a Savior. And thank God we have a Savior. We have the Savior. And now we have the ministration of the Spirit, which is even more glorious than the giving of that law. If the ministration of condemnation be glory, verse 9, much more the ministration of the righteousness exceeds in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. We don't realize how great our new covenant is. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. He says, and not as Moses, verse 13, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Their minds were blinded. Until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. People who don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, they don't see what all these scriptures in Exodus and Deuteronomy and Leviticus and the writings of the prophets, they don't see that all of that is talking about Jesus. Yeah. All of it is pointing to the cross and the resurrection and redemption and the perfect sacrifice and the perfect blood. It's all talking about Him. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, not bondage. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or mirror the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you see it, you will get excited. When you see it, your face will start to shine too. Hallelujah. The light will be turned on, the veil taken away, the blinders come off, and you will say, glory to God, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and I am in an everlasting covenant with the eternal faithful God. Woo! And we're out of time. Come back tomorrow. We're going to shout some more about this here at Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.